and gentlemen, will you all stand for the singing of America and remain standing while the Reverend John King, minister of the Williamsburg Presbyterian Church, delivers the invocation.
Almighty God, known to us in so many ways by so many people, Brahman of Hindu faith, Yahweh of Jewish faith, loving Heavenly Father of Christian piety, the great unknown creative depth of love and mystery at the heart of all of life, we invoke thy presence. Grant that what we do this day and in the days ahead may be ways in which we honor thee, engage in the depths of learning, and lift the human life around us and in our world. In thine own holy name, we make this invocation prayer. Amen.
Be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a pleasure in behalf of the Board of Visitors to welcome you to this opening convocation. You know, I've been concerned for several years as to why I was not able to understand completely the student viewpoint. While we were singing, it certainly occurred to me the reason that that was true. It's been 40 years since I sat in a convocation as a freshman, and I think that's perhaps the explanation of some of the so-called generation gap. This is a red letter day for William and Mary. For the first time, I would imagine in almost 100 years, it is possible for the entire college community to assemble in one hall for a meeting. And you know, there's been some criticism of the Board because of their being concerned with material things rather than the finer things of life. But I think this building that makes it possible for us to assemble together is certainly an asset to this college. It's a red letter day for another reason. I believe it's the first time in 100 years that the opening convocation has been attended by a number of the representatives of the Board of Visitors. We have tried over the past several years to bring about a closer relationship between the students and faculty and the board, and I hope that the presence of these gentlemen here this morning demonstrates their interest in a closer communication. But it's really a red letter day for another reason, and that's the reason we're really here this morning. And that's, on this platform are at least two new faces. There are others, but the important new faces, the top man in this institution and the third man in this institution, represent a new era at William and Mary. And when you, neither of them ever having been connected with William and Mary, neither of them ever having been connected with the state of Virginia, except Dr. Healy, I think, has done some work here with the Institute of History. But I'm sure that it was a surprise to a lot of you that in the end we selected a man by way of Stanford and Harvard. I'm sure that some of the students never thought, and some of the faculty members, that William and Mary would go that route. But that's what has happened. You know, when President Pascal announced his resignation, it was rather interesting that the students and faculty immediately reacted to the appointment of a new man and said, well, the board has already selected the new man. I hope that the procedure used in this case has served to unite this college community, as it has not been united for many, many years. And you have a responsibility, students and faculty, to help the man that's been selected, because your representatives played a large part in selecting this man. And I hope that you will give him your wholehearted support. Now, I might add one other thing. We tried to get a man under 30, but we were unable to do it. So we did the next best thing. We got a man with youthful appearance and youthful idea. For the first time, and I use this word 100 because I'm not sure of my history, but for the first time in 100 years, I'm sure of that, there will be the pitter-patter of little feet in the president's height. And I want to suggest to some of you who, students, who may have some difficulty ahead or anticipate some difficulty, that it'd be a good idea if you would volunteer for a little babysitting. Now, it's my pleasure to present not a new face, but one that's been here since I was here, Dr. J. Wilford Lambert, the Vice President for Student Affairs, who will introduce the President's aide, Dr. Lambert.
Mr. Rector and members of the Board of Visitors, President Graves, ladies and gentlemen, I have the honor to present the aides to the President for the session 1971-72. The audience is requested to withhold applause until all of the aides have been introduced. The following aides to the President hold their position by virtue of the offices to which they have been elected. Bruce Shotswell, President of the Senior Class. Mary Edwards, President of the Junior Class. Mary Frances Lowe, Editor of the Flat Hat. Judia Davis, President of Mortar Board. Bob Wooldridge, the President of ODK. Lori Tipton, the President of the Women's Dormitory Association. Rich Gardino, Chairman of the Men's Honor Council. Jackie Sivertson, Chairman of the Women's Honor Council. Kay Rohr, President of the Student Association. And the following aides who were selected at large from the senior class: Henry Tucker, Charles Chuck Pinkerton, and John Fox. Thank you.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to introduce the people on the platform. It's very difficult with this arrangement to be sure I'm doing it correctly. So if I do not call your name in order of where you're sitting, go ahead and stand up anyway. And I think it would save time if you held your applause for these people until the end. From on my right, on the front row, the first gentleman is Carter O. Lounce, Executive Vice President. You've already met Dr. J. Wilford Lambert, Vice President for Student Affairs. You will meet in a few minutes the gentleman to my left. You have met Reverend John King. You have met the present senior class. On my far left is a new gentleman, the third ranking man on the campus I mentioned a while ago. And because some of you may not have read the things that have been written about him, I want to just run over briefly something about him. Dr. Healy was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He is married, has three children. He was educated at Oberlin College, University of Minnesota, both his master's and doctor's degree. He has been dean of faculty and provost at Bates College. It was from there that he came to William & Mary. Professor of History and Cultural Heritage at Bates College, instructor and assistant professor at Massachusetts Institute of Technology. He belongs to a long list of professional associations and honorary organizations. As I mentioned a while ago, he has been connected with the Institute of, well, I guess it's the William & Mary Quarterly. He's been a contributor to the William & Mary Quarterly, and he has been connected with the Advanced Antiques Forum here in Williamsburg. So he is somewhat familiar with Williamsburg, but completely new, and a man that was selected by the faculty of this college. And if that doesn't mean something to you, then it certainly should. And I hope it means that he will have your full and complete cooperation in his efforts to build a greater William & Mary. On the second row is Robert T. English, Jr., Vice President for Business Affairs. You've met the president of the junior class. The next is Mr. R. Harvey Chappell, Jr., member of the Board of Visitors. The next is Dr. Harold L. Fowler, Dean of the Faculty of Arts and Sciences. And on my left, Dr. James C. Windsor, President of Christopher Newport College. Next to him is Dr. Richard B. Brooks, Dean of the School of Education. And next to him is Mr. Frederick Dean, Jr., member of the Board of Visitors. And you've met the next lady who's headed the flat at. On the third row, James P. White, Jr., Dean of the Marshall Wythe School of Law. And next to Mr. White is Willis H. Bowers, member of the Board of Visitors. And you've met Ms. Julia Davis, President of the Motor Board. The next is Mr. James M. Carson, President of Richard Bland College. Next is Dr. John Selby, Graduate Dean of Arts and Sciences. The next president of ODK you met, president of the Women's Dormitory Association. The next is Dr. Donald J. Herman, Dean of the School of Continuing Studies. And on the back row on my right, Dr. Charles L. Quitmire, Dean of the School of Business Administration. And you met Ms. Silverston, the chairman of the Women's Honor Council. Dean William J. Hargis, Dean of the School of Marine Science. Now you've met the other gentleman who are president's aides. I don't have their names here. I think, did I get everybody? All these others I think are president's aides. Well, they're all introduced. So that's the team that is going to lead this college over the next long period of time. I'm not going to limit it to a decade. I might say one other thing, that one of the members of the faculty on the search committee said that William Murray was on the verge of greatness. And I hope that with this team of workers that we can go over that edge and become truly a great institution. Now it's my pleasure to introduce the choir. Dr. Fair was concerned because he did not have his full choir here because a lot of them graduated and he hadn't had time to train the new ones. It's never necessary to make any apology for this William & Mary choir, and I do not do so now, but I thought I would say that because I know they're going to give an excellent performance. And I'm happy to introduce Dr. Fair, the director. sure you do not think that any apology was needed for that choir. We thank you very much. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the part of the program we really came here for. You know, it's really almost too good to be true. The things that have been said about the speaker, your new president, frightens you somewhat because all of it is good. He saw many students during the time he was visited William Murray before he came here permanently. He saw many faculty members. He talked with alumni and he talked with different people in the state of Virginia, and the reaction has been wonderful. And it kind of frightened me because it gives him a job to do that is going to be difficult. Live up to the expectations. I'm satisfied, however, that this man who has been chosen by you, and I don't want you to ever forget that you had a very, very important part in the selection of this man. If you don't believe that, you talk to the student members and the faculty members of the search committee. So you have a responsibility, but I'm sure that Dr. Graves, who comes to us from Harvard, is going to bring a new day to this institution. And I'm sure that he can count on the cooperation of all of those in this building and those that are not here. I told him when we were coming in, we came in the back way, because that's the only place to find a place to park. I said, you know, you need to worry about today, but the next time you come in, you may have to come in the back way. But today, I was sure everybody would be on the good behavior. But I'm happy, as a member of the board, to present to you your new president, the 24th president of the College of William & Mary, Dr. Thomas A. Graves, Jr.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Mr. Goodrich. If you feel frightened, think how I feel. Ladies and gentlemen of the William & Mary community, say it that way because I want to be sure I don't leave anyone out. But I must say I'm especially delighted to see Dr. Pascal here today, too. I want to thank all of you for coming together this morning to allow me to share with you the feelings of optimism and confidence that I have for this college. Now, perhaps you'll understand my feelings better if I tell you about two incidents that took place this last July 31st. I'd been in Williamsburg for several days of meetings and appointments on one of my visits here during the summer, but July 31st was the Saturday on which the moving van from Boston with all our goods was arriving at the president's house. And I was at the house in my oldest clothes helping the movers unload on what must have been the hottest, muggiest day of the summer. Various of my colleagues, or my future colleagues in the administration, had offered earlier to help me on that day, and one of the vice presidents, who will be nameless, had even come by earlier in the morning in his suit to make sure that I was up to the move. But naively, I had turned down all of these kind overtures. By 10 o'clock in the morning, I was soaked to the skin, I was dirty from trying to relay the brick floor in the basement of the house, and I was very grateful indeed that there wasn't a flat hat photographer around. When one of you who are students, and he's here today, very neatly dressed, walked up the sidewalk and introduced himself. Despite my disreputable appearance and in extremist condition, he welcomed me, and he invited me to the hoi polloi that evening. Then he inquired as to how the moving was going, and he left. But 15 minutes later, he was back, now in his oldest clothes, and for the next 6 hours, he carried and pulled and pushed alongside the movers and me. And this was on a free Saturday. And later that same day, about the middle of the afternoon, when the heat and humidity had reached impossible proportions for me, and just before a crashing thunderstorm, one of the several college security officers who had dropped by earlier to say hello returned. He had one hand behind his back. He said, "You probably haven't stopped for lunch yet, have you?" When I said no, he handed me an ice cream stick. That saved my life. He chatted a bit longer, and he went on his way. Now perhaps you understand why, on still brief acquaintance, I feel so good about this college, the people who live and work and study here. In a few minutes this morning, I would like to share with you the tentative views and impressions that I have about this college, its mission, the people who make up this community, and the ways in which we may go about helping the college achieve its objectives, and the environment in which we live and work. Now, I hope that after 14 days on the job, that I am not so naive or presumptuous as to talk at the level of definitive college policy. And I would, of course, welcome your own views and reactions to what I say. I hope that this may be the start of several dialogues that will lead us together, all of us, toward a common purpose. When I spoke briefly at commencement this past spring, I referred to the exceptional heritage which we have here at the College of William and Mary, especially the excellent material and human resources brought to the campus by my predecessor, Dr. Pascal. I could with justification go on at length to remind us of the richness and the strength of this heritage and the great traditions that are an essential part of this college today. But instead, in the interest of time, let me limit my remarks today to the present and to the future. At commencement, I suggested that our major objective as we look ahead would be to build on the superb resources we now have toward bringing the college to new high levels of excellence in an academic community with a shared and common purpose. And this leads me to the first point I would like to make, one that I've already made to the freshmen when I welcomed them 10 days ago. To me, William and Mary is first and foremost an academic institution. Here, you and I will find and will have social experiences, political experiences, athletic experiences, some very personal experiences, and many others as well. But we are here each of us, and all of us together primarily to contribute to and participate in as rich and vigorous, as exciting and stimulating an academic experience as we can possibly build together. The discussions we have, the activities we engaged in, and the decisions that we reach should, I suggest, keep this central academic goal in mind. Now, within this broad goal of academic excellence, the College of William and Mary has to find its own special mission. I shall try to reaffirm it as I perceive it. I do not believe that an educational institution can be all things to all people. And I do not believe in the homogenization of higher education. In order for the entire system of higher education in the country, in the Commonwealth of Virginia, to provide the educational services that our citizens need and deserve, each institution must carve out for itself a particular academic task, which it then strives to accomplish exceptionally well. If we do this at William and Mary as a community, we will not only survive the pressures that may be upon us to be something other than we are and something other than we can do well, but we shall, more importantly, make a special and invaluable educational contribution to Virginia and to the country as a unique institution of higher education. I have an idea that each of us is here because we sense that William and Mary is special and unique. That's why I'm here. Let me try to describe what I believe is its mission. Let me pause here just for an aside. My wife reminded me when I was talking to the freshmen afterwards that when I talk about William and Mary, I always talk as if they're two people. I don't go William and Mary, I go William and Mary. Well, maybe I do. Maybe that's the way I feel. Back to our mission. In words drawn largely from a statement about the college published 30 years ago, I would say that the central purpose of William and Mary is to provide a liberal education for its students. It must provide them with the knowledge and understanding that will be necessary in their experience of intelligent choice. And it must educate them in such special proficiency that they may attain and contribute to economic and social security. In other words, the college must prepare its students to live and to make a living. I make no sharp distinctions between cultural and practical education. But rather, I do distinguish between education which is superficial and narrow and education which is rounded and thorough. I believe that our purpose is the latter, and I call it liberal education. In the fundamental and historical sense, liberal education means education for freedom. As Alfred North Whitehead said over 40 years ago, what we should aim at producing is men and women who possess both culture and expert knowledge in some special direction. Their expert knowledge will give them the ground to start from, and their culture will lead them as deep as philosophy and as high as art in search of freedom. The heart of William and Mary's mission, to me, is the undergraduate college. With its emphasis on full-time and residential studies, leading to the bachelor's degree in art, science, and business, this, to me, is the central core of the educational experience that we share here as students and teachers. At the same time, we are a university, small enough still, I hope, to allow each of us to identify with and relate to each other and to the institution, and large enough to attract to the college the resources, both material and human, that are the building blocks of academic excellence. Again, to quote Whitehead, "The justification for a university is that it preserves the connection between knowledge and the zest of life by uniting the young and old in the imaginative consideration of learning. The university imparts knowledge, but it imparts it imaginatively. This atmosphere of excitement arising from imaginative consideration transforms knowledge." I hope that we have here at William and Mary an atmosphere of excitement, the kind of special magic that is found when teachers and students together are sharing in an academic adventure. I hope that we may strengthen our graduate offerings in the arts and sciences and in the professions of law and business and education in support of our undergraduate offerings. But if we are to fulfill our special mission, let us be cautious about growing much larger. To complement our residential and full-time work at the undergraduate level, I believe we should explore new ways to offer work at the graduate level, leading to advanced degrees, full-time and part-time, on campus and off campus. But rather than focusing on sharply increasing numbers or broader markets, let us put our emphasis on doing our job, our particular job, exceedingly well within our limited objectives. This is not to denigrate or question the value of other important educational objectives for other institutions, but only to suggest that this college, like every institution, must set its own sights with care. Now, within the framework of a small, liberal university with limited objectives and with emphasis on full-time and residential work at the undergraduate level, I recognize, of course, that we are also a state institution. As such, we have the responsibility and the privilege of serving the citizens of Virginia, especially the adult population, both civilian and military, in the Tidewater area of Eastern Virginia. Through our urban expression of Christopher Newport College at the four-year undergraduate level, through Richard Bland College, presently a two-year undergraduate institution, through both full-time and part-time work at our Virginia Associated Research Campus, leading to Christopher Newport's undergraduate degrees and William and Mary's graduate degrees, and through the full range of offerings of the School of Continuing Studies in the Evening College, the Extension Division, and the Summer Session, I believe that the College of William and Mary may explore new ways of responding to and meeting, on a limited basis, the important educational needs of the people of this Commonwealth. We can do this in a responsible manner, I trust, and still hold true to and place our major emphasis on our primary task. This is how I believe we can best serve in a leadership role the state of Virginia and the some 70% of the students in the undergraduate body who are its citizens. And so far, I have tried to describe William and Mary as an academic institution, as a college, as a university, and as a state institution. Let me simply add that I also see the college as one having a national character. I suspect that this is why most of us, from in-state and out-of-state, are here. It is national, I believe, in the resources it draws on, its faculty, its students, and increasingly, I hope, its financial strength. And it is national, I trust, in the contributions it makes, both as an institution and through its alumni. Through William and Mary's national character, the Commonwealth of Virginia benefits manyfold. This, then, is the college and its mission as I see it today, 14 days on the job. I would welcome knowing to what extent you share these perceptions and these hopes. Whatever our mission, we will accomplish it only through the people, individually and together, who make up this academic community. In a very limited sense, they include the alumni, the students, the faculty, the administration, the visitors, and the president, in descending order of their numbers. Let me say just a few words about each group, including me, as I see them today. Now, I should also like to discuss at length the role of parents, the citizens of Virginia, the state government, the citizens of Williamsburg, and the Colonial Williamsburg Foundation. This I shall hope to do on another occasion soon, for these individuals and groups are tremendously important and of value to us. Let me simply say now that we who are here today as a university community have many publics. And we are and should be dependent upon their goodwill. As a state institution, we are especially dependent upon the goodwill of the citizens of Virginia, and particularly their representatives in the General Assembly. I would hope that, within the essential framework of academic freedom, our decisions and our conduct would recognize and reflect this responsibility. Now let me return to the more limited view of this community to which I have referred. There are over 20,000 living alumni of William and Mary. As I stated at my first meeting with the alumni this past summer in Boston, the success of the College of William and Mary is measured through the lives of its alumni, the contributions they make, the satisfactions they feel, the quality of their lives. The common good of society is a reflection of the quality of life of its members. And William and Mary, through its alumni, individually and collectively, has as its mission the promotion of that common good. This is another way of describing the mission of a liberal or liberating education, for only through such experiences can one appreciate and contribute to the common good. As Archbishop Temple of England said many years ago, when surprise was expressed at the success and afterlife of a man who as a boy at Rugby had been somewhat undistinguished, it's not what they are at 18, it's what they become afterwards that matters. Our whole purpose here has to do with what you, who are students, become as alumni, and the quality of your lives. We have approximately 4,000 students here. I hope that each of you is here because you are motivated and committed to be fully involved in the excitement and discovery of an academic adventure. Many others have been turned away so that you could take your place in this class at William & Mary. In order that you may feel that involvement that I believe is so important, I want you to be and feel that you are full partners in this educational community. I intend to treat you as responsible and mature individuals and citizens of high personal standards, capable of sharing fully in the governance of your own lives. I must assume that this is what you are, and this is how you plan to conduct your lives. As President John Logan of Hollins College in Virginia stated this past July, sound personal standards are, after all, the ultimate determinant of all right conduct. I would hope that all of us will work on the assumption that each member of the campus, including students, faculty, administration, and visitors, has the right to organize his or her personal life and behavior so long as it does not violate the law or agreements voluntarily entered into and does not interfere with the rights of others or the educational process. Now, I have just quoted from a model bill of rights and responsibilities prepared by the Carnegie Commission on Higher Education, which I'll refer to again in a moment. Let me simply say now that I want each of you as students to be involved in and share in the decisions which affect your lives here, both academically and socially, mindful of the rights and responsibilities of others and the primary reason for your being here. I want you to have full citizenship in this community in terms of both your rights and responsibilities. For in this way, I hope that you will like it here as students, which is why you came here in the first place. The faculty of William & Mary makes all the difference. In their zest for the teaching, learning process before research, in their sense of excitement and adventure in working with ideas and young people and encouraging learning, in their dedication and caring for the individual students' development that will allow us to use the superb resources that are our heritage, and in raising the college to new high levels of excellence. I hope that you who are faculty members, young and old, may be innovative and flexible in searching out new ways to motivate the students to like it here as students, new ways to provide them with an academic experience that is relevant for today and tomorrow. I hope that you will work together and creatively across schools, departments, and disciplines in this search. And I hope that in this search, you will not feel inhibited by any academic traditions or educational dogmas in regard to the form and substance of curricula and calendar. You who are the faculty have the major responsibility for educational policy and practice and for the role of educational leadership that I want this college to play. As my friend Whitehead said, imagination is a contagious disease. Now the administration is here, I suggest, simply to do everything possible to help create an environment that will allow students and teachers to do their thing under the most favorable circumstances. Our task in the administration is to provide direction, to provide support, and the resources to the educational effort in order to allow teaching and learning to take place. Let me emphasize parenthetically that with careful planning involving efficient and effective use of educational resources, which must be the responsibility of every one of us, I believe that we can strive toward excellence and still keep costs down to a reasonable minimum. So far, I've had the opportunity, of course, to get to know members of the administration best. And as most of you already know, William and Mary is fortunate indeed. This brings me to the next smaller group in this academic community, the Board of Visitors. These devoted and able men and women provide the continuity and have the final authority and responsibility for all that we are doing here. I shall be searching for new ways to bring them even closer to the ongoing stream of the educational process and life of the college, and new ways to bring the views of students and faculty to their consideration on major policy issues that will come before us. That leaves me, about whom I shall say very little. I hope that you'll find me accessible, visible, and approachable. I hope you'll find me consistent in behavior and flexible in ideas. I hope that I may serve as a bridge, a communicator, and at times a catalyst to you, through you, and especially for you. I shall try to encourage unanimity of understanding, if not always unanimity of agreement. At the same time, I think that you will find I shall be delegating operating and day-to-day decisions to where they belong, to the able administrators, faculty, and students who make up this community. In delegating, however, I recognize that the ball stops with the president in most instances. And I know that there will be many occasions when the president must make the final decisions, however difficult and tough they may be. I shall remain responsible in the final analysis to the Board of Visitors for the help of this college. I've been talking about individuals and groups. To me, it is essential that they come together as a voluntary association called the William and Mary Community, working together toward a common academic purpose. If they do, if we do, this college will indeed be a special and unique institution. I hope that we may explore new ways in which together we may combine our resources and our strengths as groups and as individuals toward more effective governance of and more effective communication within this community. And in placing emphasis upon William and Mary as a community, let me suggest that we may also wish to define, clarify, and articulate our rights and responsibilities as members of that community. I hope that we may focus our attention on rights and responsibilities rather than on powers and privileges or prerogatives, on policies and procedures rather than on rules and regulations, and on freedoms rather than license. I hope that we shall not talk about your rights and my responsibilities, but rather about our rights and responsibilities as citizens, our rights and responsibilities as members of this particular academic community, the rights and responsibilities of the college itself, and the procedures we follow if those rights and responsibilities are violated. In this way, I believe we may protect and advance the individual freedoms and the academic freedom that are essential to the good health of William and Mary as an academic institution. Let me mention just two other things, two other matters of importance to me on this occasion. First, I said earlier that I was not in favor of the homogenization of higher education. More specifically and positively, I am in favor of diversity, consistent with high quality, within an institution such as William and Mary, in both faculty and students. I hope, for example, that we may take affirmative action with imagination and resourcefulness to encourage and attract to the college well-qualified students and faculty of minority backgrounds. All of us at the college, in the state, and in the nation will benefit, and William and Mary will have taken a further step forward in promoting the common good. Finally, in regard to quality of life, let me express my own personal conviction that high quality of education in a university such as William and Mary takes place best in an environment in which there is high quality of life and living. And while we're very fortunate indeed here in our physical and material resources, I believe that we can and should improve some of the living conditions and conditions of work at the college, and also devote further attention to the problems of the environment on the campus. Let me add that each of us, you and I, each of us will need to take his or her share of responsibility for the success of this effort. I've left much unsaid this noon, and I trust that those of you who wish I had articulated one particular point of view or another will be understanding of the time constraints and tolerant of my 14 days on the job. I hope that we may have further discussion, questioning, and dissent, if you wish, on the full range of the tentative views and impressions that I have expressed. Such dialogue, I'm confident, will move this special and unique institution to even higher levels of excellence and leadership in Virginia and in the nation. Thank you.
Will everyone please remain just a minute? Don't leave right this second. The real reason that Tom Graves is the new president of William Murray is because of a wonderful, beautiful wife that he has, and she is here, and I want her to be recognized. She's not, I can't see with this light, but I think she's over here. Will all of you, will you stand, will all of you give a big hand to her? Dr. Graves, we thank you for a very fine message, and on behalf of the board, we want to pledge you our full support in carrying out the objectives you have outlined. Will you please stand now for the benediction of the Reverend John King?
Our benediction will be with our eyes open. May God take us and plunge us more deeply than we ever dreamed we would go. May he take us and use us in a way that enhances both faith and learning. May he make us good soldiers in the warfare of ideas and shock troops on the growing edge of truth and let the chips fall where they may. May he take all these buildings and all that is here, the bodies, the governor, the students, the faculty, those who cut the grass and stoke the fires and wait on the tables, and make us here something which can take up our learning and our faith into some new burst of consciousness that God might use in the ongoing civilizing processes. And to him be glory and honor, now and always. Amen.